And now, from the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, from the Cowichan Valley to the Thompson Valley and all 20 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Today we're on location at Unsworth Vineyards for our 2023 Cowichan Grape Escape. Our host is Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards. And we're delighted to be here, Dan. Thanks for showing up.
Oh, thanks for coming again, Tony. Great to see you.
Great to see you. I'm going to start with a really odd thing, a white robin. If you haven't ever seen a white robin, maybe Unsworth's the place to go. Well, what is a white robin?
So I'm not a biologist, but I've just Wikipedia'd it. It's called a leucistic robin. It's not an albino. It's like a spirit bear, you know, just a white colored robin.
Wow.
And, you know, pretty rare. So yeah, you see it flying around the grounds of Unsworth. I've been tracking it now. This is the third season it's returned, and you know, I don't think robins live that long, so I'm not sure how many more seasons we will have with it if it doesn't get picked off.
I saw it this morning hopping around the bushes, so I felt pretty special to see that. So, folks, if you're visiting Unsworth, check out the white robin or sit down and be quiet and have a look around. He may appear or she may appear.
Yeah, I think it's a good omen for the vintage.
Speaking of new things, new chef.
New chef, Chef Dan Bain joined us, local chef from Victoria, and already changing the menu a little bit, doing some really exciting things. He's got his smoker out back, making some really good smells.
Yeah. And at the moment, the restaurant is open. It's not open 7 days a week yet.
Correct. Pretty soon, when we switch to high season, we'll go 7 days a week. For now, we're open from Wednesday through Sunday, lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm. And it's always been an outstanding place to eat, folks, so it's another great reason to come by. Maybe do some tasting. Go through the tasting room to pick out one of the experiences. A winemaker tour sounds good. Who does that? Do you do that?
Sometimes. They twist my arm a little bit. If you're very lucky, maybe I'll come by and do a tour. But sometimes I pop in the restaurant or in the tasting room and talk to folks. But oftentimes you'll meet Karen Newington, our tasting room manager, who is also the wife of my assistant winemaker, Morgan. So she's great. And then there'll be Chris Turk as well around sometimes.
Right. So they got all the info.
Yeah. We're a really small team. We're always sharing info back and forth.
I got a quick preview this morning of the new releases. Let's talk about that. So you still have some wines left, but the wines move pretty quickly on the island. So where are we at with vintages and releases?
Yeah, so we should just have just enough Pinot Noir and Chardonnay to carry you through till we release our new vintages in the later spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
We are selling out of a few of the smaller SKUs here on the shelf. We'll be following them up pretty shortly. We're in the getting ready for bottling this week. So we are putting to bottle 22 Pinot Gris, 22 Rosé, and 21 Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
Mm. And I just tasted the Pinots and the Rosé, the 22 Rosé, the Sunnydale Rosé, which is a special bottling here.
Yes.
Looking really nice.
Thank you. It's a single vineyard in Saanich on Mount Newton, and it's 100 cases, mostly goes out to the wine club. But if you want to make sure you get a bottle, either join the wine club or come up to the winery pretty soon. We'll be releasing that. Just mid-April here, we got a sort of wine club party pickup date on Saturday in April.
So lots going on here. And finally, because we're going to talk to him shortly, you have a new viticulturalist here, agroecologist.
Yes.
Felix Egerer.
Correct.
So he's just starting out here. Who's going to make the wine, him or you? How does that work?
He's got a lot of knowledge and experience. We're working really well together. And actually, he does have a little bit of a winemaking background. He's done a bunch of vintages around the world as well. But he turned to the dark side of viticulture a few years ago. And Yeah, so he started with us in November, just in 22, and he's hit the ground running.
Yeah, well, that's great. We're going to catch up with him, and we've got a few questions for him, too, about what's going on here at the Couch and your new plantings. We'll talk about that, and we'll get right into what's going on here at Unsworth Vineyards. That was Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards. We're coming to you from Unsworth here in the Cowichan Valley. I'm Anthony Gismondi. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio. We'll be right back.
There's more to come from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Presented in part by Moonwater Lodge, a West Coast-style boutique hotel. Online at moonwaterlodge.com.
Penticton may be renowned for great wine, but they're also a craft beer paradise. Get to know the Penticton beer scene at the Okanagan Festival, April 14th and 15th at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. The Okanagan Festival has been bringing together craft beer lovers and craft brewers to celebrate ales, lagers, ciders, and more since 1996. Enjoy one of the largest and longest running annual beer festivals in the Pacific Northwest. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Farm and Winery. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberfarm.com. Simply great wines.
As someone who is starting or adding to their wine or spirits collection, you recognize your choice of a reputable supplier is paramount. As the only auction in Canada dedicated to fine wines and spirits, Iron Gate Auctions offers buyers a safe, inexpensive way to initiate or enhance their collections. They're experts in the field, and all of their offerings are meticulously sourced from private sellers across Canada. To find out more, visit irongateauctions.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after four decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
From the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Here again is Anthony Gismondi. Waiting for tonight, oh,
when you would be here in my arms. Waiting for tonight. Hello, British Columbia. It's our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape. Today we're on location at Unsworth Vineyard, and our guest is Dan Wright. He's the winemaker, and Felix Eggerer. He's the agroecologist specializing in viticulture here at Unsworth. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Happy to be back. Really,
you know what's coming, Felix. What is an agroecologist?
It's someone who works in agriculture, but also ecology, combines the two realms and looks at agriculture under an ecological, perspective.
Yeah. Are you a regenerative kind of guy? Is that one of the things you like to be about?
Yeah. I don't like labels because as soon as we label something, it becomes dogma, but I do work in the regenerative realm, yep.
Yeah, which seems to me to be really easy over here, given the amount of rain that we see in the growth. But you came from Tantalus, pretty dry, pretty deserty. Well, maybe not South Okanagan, but how would you explain the difference in the two places now for you? What will change in your mindset?
it's, I mean, the context of the climate is obviously very different comparing the interior, like you said, dry, getting drier, getting hotter, getting colder in winter.
Yeah.
To the island with a lot more precipitation and milder temperatures, still warm and getting warmer and drier in summer. And, but the winters less harsh, less snow, more rain. Everything grows, or things grow 12 months out of the year, not just.
Yeah, do the plants actually shut down here, or do they get enough?
They do, yeah. I mean, vines definitely shut down over winter, and everything else shuts down to a certain degree.
Yeah. A lot of planting going on. Dan, maybe you could update us. Last time I was here, there was a big hole in the ground up north. What's going on at Unsworth?
Yeah, I think it looked a lot different up there. We took you up there now. I think it was pretty barren looking. It's all smoothed out, cover crop, growing, getting ready for putting in 35 acres this spring. And most of that is Pinot Noir and Chardonnay with a couple acres of Gamay as well.
I guess the cover crops would be different here, given just the soil and the precipitation, or how will you manage that? Are you taking water out of the soil?
I'm going to try to over winter and then trying to keep it in summer. So there's it'll be a learning curve and just adapting to the context here, changing what I see, what I need to do or what needs doing for the plants and the soil. Definitely being able to grow something throughout the growing season too, and not just focusing on winter or the shoulder seasons is going to be the ticket here.
We got him a special little seeder tool to help him so he can switch his crops back and forth as he likes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that.
What's it called again, Felix?
No, just a seed drill to seed without tilling in the vineyard.
So. Yeah. Dan Wright's a winemaker. Felix Eggerer is the agroecologist here at Unsworth. We're talking about some of the plantings. Is it hard to grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay? Like, they always say it's hard to grow Pinot Noir. Do you believe that, or do you think it's a myth?
I mean, growing grapes is not the easiest thing, especially in a high humidity environment like here. But if it was easy, way more people would be doing it, and it would stop being fun. So who doesn't love a challenge?
I'm going to ask both you guys the same question. So what's the difference between an Okanagan Pinot Noir and an island Pinot, do you think? We'll start with you. You've been here longer, Dan.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think actually just as we were tasting, chatting before, you know, the island has this brilliant acidity, brightness of fruit. We don't have this problem, I think, of sometimes the temperatures getting too high in the summer and the fruit kind of baking, losing all this complexity and nuance. So those are the styles of Pinot Noir that we make, this sort of very high tone, bright acidity, but still very complex in its layers of fruit. So,
and I would say leaner than what people might expect generally when they're buying these wines.
Yeah.
Which is part of the appeal of the wines to me. But
you know, 12 to 12.5% alcohol, you know, is where we're usually sitting. So,
and Felix, I know you haven't been here long, but what do you think some of the challenges are or the differences are that will change the way that you look after the vines, or will it?
I mean, obviously, I don't, or I have yet to figure out what goes on here, but from the conversations that I've had and the visits before I started here, it's, I think the moisture is really the biggest challenge. Pinot, Chard, thin skin varieties, kind of hard to get to harvest, and here hard to get to sugar for Pinot to get it to really nice red wine levels. I really like that I have to get rid of acid rather than keep it.
It's a little easier.
It's become more and more challenging in the interior, I think, to preserve that natural acidity, keep the pH low, and especially in Pinot.
But why do we talk so much about acid? What should consumers know that they don't know without overwhelming them? I mean,
I guess it's that, you know, a wine that doesn't have acid can taste like flabby and flat in your mouth, and and kind of your palate gets tired of drinking it after a while. And the acidity just keeps it refreshing, makes you want another sip, pairs well with food. That's what I would say.
You're making two Pinots. Generally, you have the well, let's call it the Unsworth Pinot, and then the Saison Vineyard Pinot. They're very different wines. Well, how can you explain to consumers what they need to know about those two?
Sure, I think just really broad strokes. The Cowichan Valley Pinot is a blend of three vineyards. It tends to be a little bit lighter, a little bit more juicy, quaffable. Mm-hmm. And the Saison Vineyard is this steeper, rocky slope south-facing that really ripens the fruit well. And so it just is a little bit more weight on your palate and yeah. a little more depth.
That's what I noticed. It's a lovely sort of mid-palate weight. Mm. But even by Pinot standards, not a lot, but just the right amount. I think it's just such a lovely wine. You've had a chance to taste some wines, obviously, Felix.
Yep.
You like the style, or?
Yeah, I like the lightness. I'm very much a fan of lower alcohol, higher acid wines, varieties in general, but
yeah.
styles. And it's really interesting to see, and will become even more interesting as we discover new spots to grow on the island and the industry expands. I feel like there are going to be a lot more iterations of Pinot and Chardonnay
yeah.
in the future.
Are you a terroir guy, or you don't
Ooh, feel that's a can of worms you don't want to open?
Feel that's a bunch of dogma too? Like, because I'm going to ask if you're a terroir guy and a clone guy, or mm-hmm. like, how would you describe the way that you're looking at a property to plant and look after? What are the main things that you worry about?
Up here, it's definitely aspect, just because we want to get as good of an angle to the sun that mm-hmm. to the little sun that we do get,
yeah,
and slope for drainage, and then for soil types. I mean, as long as it's not too rich and like a valley bottom or something, that's really better for dairy fields,
right?
I think there's a lot to work with around here, and I'll plant where people tell me to plant if it's any good. So,
yeah. Well, that sounds nice. Are you telling him where to plant, Dan?
well, he did jump into this project. You know, he's hit the ground running. He's been amazing. Good sport when we've made a lot of these decisions, and mm-hmm. you know, we're going at full tilt. So
yeah. So you're going to plant a lot in the next 2 months or so. You've got a lot of work ahead of you. How big is the new property?
It's going to end up being just over 40 acres in the ground, yeah. as far as vines go.
Wow.
And so,
isn't that as much as all of Vancouver Island?
Yeah, I know. We're going full steam ahead, and it's exciting time to be on the yeah. island, because yeah, there's, like you said, I think there's only a couple hundred acres or something on the island. Maybe if you include the Gulf Islands, you add another bit there.
Sure.
But, yeah,
it's good. I want to ask you another question yeah. about the owners, because
sure.
This property was purchased by Barbara Banky and her daughter, Julia Jackson, and there was some stupid stuff on the web saying, oh, the Americans are here and that. What can you tell us about them and how that's sort of worked out, or how sure. it's unfolding here at Unsworth?
Well, they're really genuine people. They do exactly what they say they do, and when they first came here, they told us, you know, we're going to keep the people here. We're going to let you do your style of winemaking, your
yep.
Like keep the business the way it has been, and just sort of enhance it, bring more resources to it,
more barrels,
yeah
and, more tanks,
and that's exactly what they've been doing.
That's
you know
fantastic.
You know, we've done now started a few of these expansion projects, vineyard first, and soon to jump into a winery expansion as well. But and you know, I think in the reality is that it's way more investment going into the island, going into Canada, than mm-hmm. the other way around.
Yeah, you sort of glossed over, but it's going to be a lot of work here. There's going to be a new tasting room and all that coming, maybe starting by the end of the year or into next year.
Yeah,
sort of
we're going to be mostly in the planning phases this year, and then next year probably get into it.
Yeah. Gentlemen, really great to catch up with you. Nice overview at Unsworth. You'll be opening 7 days a week before you know it, folks, and this is really a key spot to stop when you're in the Cowichan. Hey, up next, Bluegrass Vineyards winemaker Bailey Williamson has made the 11-kilometer trip from just north of us to Unsworth. We're going to catch up with him and see what's going on just a little further north in the couch. And this is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Presented in part by Moonwater Lodge, a West Coast-style boutique hotel. Online at moonwaterlodge.com.
Uncork the latest of our province's wine this month at Save On Foods, home to more than 1,300 BC VQA wines. With the world's largest selection growing every day, you'll find new wines from new wineries arriving all the time. Spring is the time of new beginnings, so celebrate with the latest in high-quality vintages from the best growers and winemakers BC has to offer. Wines of British Columbia at Save On Foods, with 22 wine stores across BC. Find yours at saveonfoods.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Welcome to The Loops. When you love something, you want to do it again and again. Here in Kamloops, you can do laps on your mountain bike or play another round of golf. And when you're ready, welcoming eateries will gladly bring out budget-friendly second helpings or refills. Later on, you can raise the roof for a melodic encore before tucking into a comfy bed, then waking up to discover something new to do all over again. That's what we mean by Welcome to The Loops. Go to TourismKamloops.com to plan your next road trip to The Loops.
From the Save On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We are back with our Cowichan Grape Escape. Today we're on location on Unsworth Vineyards, and our guest is Bailey Williamson, who's agreed to drive down a few kilometers to talk to us from Blue Grouse Vineyards. Bailey, how are you?
I'm well, Anthony. Thank you.
Nice trip down in the sun.
Oh, beautiful day here in the Cowichan.
Isn't it nice?
Well, we're all looking forward to hopefully a positive spring and and seeing the grapes start to...
It seems to me that you've had a better winter, perhaps, than the folks in the Okanagan had. You didn't get that super cold weather.
No, we got some cold weather, but certainly nowhere near to the degree that they did. And so it wasn't detrimental for our grapes down here.
Yeah. Now, since the last time I saw you, there's been big changes at Blue Grouse. One big change. Why don't we talk quickly about that?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think Paul Bruner and the family had some difficult decisions, and but I just don't think Paul could see himself pushing through for the next 10 years and the growth that really sort of needed to happen with the wine.
Millions of dollars of investment,
well,
probably.
You know, I think there's a bit of everything involved in that.
Yeah, yeah. So the winery's been purchased. You have new owners from California. That are members of the Jackson family.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the whole Jackson family group, which is three generations. And, you know, I can only imagine that large organizations like that have a much different view of things. They're looking 25, 50 years down the road. And with three generations, it's got to keep, it's got to be, you know, sustainable.
So Paul has moved on, but everybody else is staying in place or has been allowed to stay in place if they want to be.
Yeah, no. Jackson family retained the whole staff, and that was pretty
fantastic.
Seamless from that perspective, for sure.
Yeah. So, what in your early? I know it's early times, but what sort of changes do you think will come, or what have you been talking about right away for Blue Grouse?
Well, I think the early stages is just sort of keep the train going on the tracks.
Yeah.
But they have a much more focused view of what's the potential and what the possibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will see more, certainly as we've been moving forward, more Chardonnay, more Pinot Gris, more Pinot Noir. And I think they're very much interested in developing the sparkling program.
Great.
How that all plays out is still yet to be determined.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got lots of vineyard. You've got new vineyard coming on, too. That is it this year? Is it? Will this be the first or second?
I got a bit of Chard and Pinot Noir off some of the new plantings last year that went into some sparkling. I'm hopeful to get some more this year. We'll see where the volumes are. Mm-hmm. Always difficult to tell in farming.
Mm. Will you plant this year too, more vineyard? Or
I think some of the Coxsala property that was purchased a couple of years ago will, I don't think all of it, but there will certainly be a large portion of it that'll get planted.
Wow. You're going to be swimming in grapes.
Well, I mean, I think that was part of the benefit was that now with all the plantings coming on and with Unsworth being our sister winery, we'll be able to, you know, sort of allocate the grapes in the best way possible.
Yeah. Our guest is Bailey Williamson. He's the winemaker at Blue Grouse Vineyard. You brought a couple of wines along, so let's start with the first wine, which was the Quill 21 Chardonnay.
Yes, it is. So this was my inaugural edition of Chardonnay from the Cowichan Valley. I'm pretty excited. I'm really just sort of trying to work out what works best for this grape in this region. I'm really excited for the time when we have more of our own growing and we can control the growing
the
conditions.
Process, yeah, from start to finish.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice wine though because you have that lemon that I love in acidity, but you also have a bit of and I'm going to say this in a good way, butter. Like there's a bit of a, it's almost like a citrus butter, you know, which really gives it a nice kick.
I think that's called a beurre blanc.
A beurre blanc. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah. Showing well.
Yeah, no, I think.
So fresh.
You know, it's interesting because it was all done in oak and fermented, not new, but a lot of older oak. And I think that with the higher acidity and the leanness of it, it doesn't become overpowered and like some of those other Chardonnays that people were used to. I think that was the ABC revolution was against that kind of over extractedness.
In fact, I had a lovely Meursault this week. It reminds me a bit of that on the mid palate, so that's not so bad.
if I'm in that conversation, I'm pretty happy.
It was like a $130 wine, so it was very good. Okay, and did you bring a Pinot Noir as well?
Yeah, we did. This is the 2020 Estate Pinot Noir.
Right.
And, this is what I make using the Amphora and some other oak barrels that I've identified that I really like.
Wow. It's a lovely spice there.
Yeah, I think some of that comes from our vineyard, and some of it comes from... All the constituent parts, which is really quite interesting.
It's a very it's a lovely aromatic nose. Like, I'm surprised at this stage that it's already presenting that way. Well, I guess it's 23, so
yeah. That's one of the things that I've really noticed is the ageability of the wines from here. The high acid really lends itself to the aging. And over time, they really stand out even more so. The Chardonnay went in the bottle last year, and I'm looking at it now, and I'm thinking it's really starting to drink well. Someone that's taken a case of that and put it in their basement is going to be rewarded for sure in the next 5 years.
Well, this 2020 Pinot is delicious, but is there any left? Or?
Yeah, in fact, there is at the winery.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty much only at the winery. There's a few other spots where it's available, but yeah.
Way to go.
Well, thank you.
Now I know why they bought you. Or got you. They didn't buy you. Are you like the director of everything now, or do you have a new title too? Or?
No.
No?
No, it's my birthday today, and I just, this is my 60th trip around the sun. So
oh, boy.
I'm looking at the exit strategy, if they allow me.
Yeah. Right on. Well, those are two delicious wines. Congratulations. I did want to mention in April, because you always do such great stuff. Well, Paul started it, I think, for the Nourish Cowichan.
Yes.
That still goes on. Can you quickly explain how that works? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. There's an organization called Nourish Cowichan that provides meals for some of those suffering from food insecurity in the Cowichan Valley, a bunch of people through the schools and other outreach communities. During the month of April, which is BC Wine Month, we will be contributing a dollar from every bottle sold at every outlet to that. We raised, I think it was $20,000 last year, and
fabulous.
They can do a lot with that.
What about Bluegrass itself? Is it open now? How does it work for visitors?
We're open 5 days a week, and I think starting about Mother's Day, middle of May, we will be open 7 days a week, 11 to 5, and with days like this, we're already seeing people sitting on the patio.
Yeah. Can you stop by, or do you need an appointment, or how does that work?
Appointments, preferably.
Okay.
If you're midweek, you could probably find a table, but yeah, if you can make an appointment, that's best.
And can you stay at Bluegrass now, or there was a time you could, or what's going on with the accommodation?
Well, now that Paul's left and all his extra guests, we do have some accommodation. It's preferential, so if you're a wine club or in the industry or something, you can get in touch with us.
Right. Okay, so it's more insider than out. I love it. What are you looking forward to most this year?
I'm looking forward to a early spring and allowing the vines to get going earlier than last year.
Yeah, so hopefully a slightly earlier finish then.
Well, yeah, a slightly earlier finish and, just the chance to work with more Chard and Pinot from our new plantings.
Bailey, great to catch up with you. We should do a tour of Commercial Drive the next time you're in town.
Oh, I would love that.
I think you're an expert on that place.
Wow. It's been a while, but then there's a lot of changes going on. But yeah. I'm in.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Anthony.
Really
Thank
great
you.
To see you. Bailey Williamson, winemaker, Bluegrass Vineyards. And we're coming to you live this morning from Unsworth Vineyards. Up next, Enrico, Winery General Manager Lauren Inglis joins us. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Presented in part by Moonwater Lodge, a West Coast-style boutique hotel. Online at moonwaterlodge.com.
Don't be shy about picking up the tab during Modest Happy Hour at the Modest Butcher. From 2 to 5 p.m. daily, treat your friends and treat yourself. Featuring wine by the glass from just $5, along with modestly sophisticated cocktails and delectable nibbles. Plus, order a tomahawk steak on a Tuesday and get your first bottle of Reserve Merlot for just $5. That's some seriously modest spending. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this spring. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries, many that are reopening after winter hibernation. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate spring wine tasting and a chance to sample some Okanagan vintages. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours and winery events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
The Inn at Therapy Vineyards invites you to get away for a luxurious retreat experience. Modern rooms overlooking the vineyards and Lake Okanagan set the tone for a relaxing and refreshing stay on the Naramata bench. Relax on your patio, soak in the hot tub, and enjoy a guided tasting experience in the Therapy Vineyards wine shop. Book your room or order Therapy Vineyards award-winning wines and have them delivered to your door at therapyvineyards.com. Because everyone needs a little therapy.
Hi, I'm Anthony Gismondi. This week's show comes to you from Unsworth Vineyard in the Cowichan Valley, and our team stayed at Moonwater Lodge, a beautiful location right on the Malahat. All rooms have an amazing view along with a soaker tub, gas fireplace, and private balcony. The Malahat Chalet was originally built in 1905 as a pit stop along the world-famous historical Malahat Trail. In the early years, the chalet was a post office and a pit stop for travelers making the trek from Mill Bay to Victoria. Our team loves staying at the Moonwater Lodge for the relaxed atmosphere and easy access to the surrounding wineries in the area. If you're considering a trip to Vancouver Island, you really need to spend some quality time in the Cowichan, and you're never too far from the wineries, ocean views, lake views, and quaint towns like Chemainus, Duncan, Ladysmith, Mill Bay, and don't forget to explore Shawnigan Lake. We loved our stay. Why not check it out for yourself? To book your accommodations, go to moonwaterlodge.com.
From the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now.
Hello, British Columbia. We're on the road again. Today, we're on location at Unsworth Vineyards on Vancouver Island. Our guest is Sanrico Winery General Manager Lauren Inglis. Always great to see you, Lauren. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to see you as well.
You look ready to go. Are things opening up?
Yeah, things are starting to open up. I mean, spring's in the air, and I think that excites a lot of people, so yeah. We're looking forward to it. It's been a long winter.
It has.
Yeah.
You have, maybe you could describe to people, it's a very idyllic setting at Enrico with the pond and the way the vineyards run up.
Yeah, it's sort of an undulating hill that works away from the main tasting room. Big pond on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Big tasting deck outside. So you're sitting out there enjoying the sun, overlooking the view.
And for someone who hasn't been there, how would you describe the ethos at the winery? What is it that you're up to there?
We try to create a fun environment is our main objective there. Mm-hmm. You know, come in, taste some wine, come in with some friends, listen to live music. So
yep.
It's a lot of fun.
You brought some wines, but what have you got in the ground there? What's sort of the focus at Enrico?
Well, we're working really hard, obviously, on the Ortega. It's sort of our signature grape by far for the whites. And I believe that the Ortega for us sort of reflects us as well. I mean, it's a fun wine to drink, so I think we're a fun environment to be in.
Well, let's talk about Ortega. This is like an island grape. Like, it's really, there's something... there's something in the dirt here that really appeals to Ortega, I think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a cool climate grape, obviously.
Yeah.
And it grows extremely well in our environment. You know, just that great fruity flavors to it. You know, the freestone fruits come through really heavy on it.
Yeah.
A little bit of acidity on the end of it, which binds everything together. So, it's a lot of fun.
So you brought what you're going to just bottle this in the next few days.
We bottle it next week.
This is 2022?
2022.
Yeah. It's got beautiful aromatics on the nose, but then it has that, we've been talking about it all day, that island acidity, which really sort of grounds it and
it keeps it
from going crazy on the...
It does, and I think, you know, again, it's sort of a binding agent, so to speak, for it for us, and it's great.
Just a touch of RS at the end, it's a very attractive wine.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done extremely well with it. Of course, winning the Lieutenant Governor's a few years back with it, and it's successful for us.
I know you're a fun guy, but what would you serve with this? Like, what do you like to have with Ortega? What do you think is a really nice match for this wine?
Honestly, I think oysters are probably one of the best pairings.
Really,
it's just
that's
it's
kind of a sweet and sweet sort of thing.
It is in a way.
Sweet
meat and it's just a great pairing. We had the Oyster Festival last year at the winery and. Super successful. We're going to do it again this year. We just haven't got a date, but I think for us, obviously, number one pairing was the Ortega.
Yeah.
Super happy.
Our guest is Lauren Inglis. He's the GM at Enrico Winery. We've just been tasting the Ortega. How much would we pay for the Ortega?
$22.50 with tax.
Okay. And buying wine at Enrico is easy, hard, simple?
Super simple. You can go online and buy it. You can be a member of the wine club, obviously. But then you can come in and do a tasting and enjoy the tasting and pick a couple of bottles up while you're there.
So we know the pandemic was big for online buying. Has it continued or has it dropped off?
I would say it's dropped off a little bit. I mean, definitely.
But it's still
happening. I mean, there's a lot of, especially out of province, there's a lot of online orders that come in.
Oh, yeah.
But anybody that's local now is dying to get out. Of course, pandemic being over and spring's in the air, so
sure,
people are traveling.
So, well, let's talk about that. So at Enrico now, when are you open? How's that rolling out, and what are you offering at the site?
Beginning of April, we're going to be into Friday, Saturday, Sundays. And we're doing our live music program again on Saturday for the beginning of the season, and then we'll be doing it on Saturday and Sundays. Mm-hmm. And that's always popular, again, sitting out on the deck, listening to the music, enjoying the view.
Yeah.
Enjoying a bottle of wine with your friends.
And you have a nice concept because it's not really a restaurant. Most of the time you get these charcuterie boards and...
Yep. Yeah, so it's just
it's
a light
sort of
menu.
Noshing on things.
Yeah, so it's a light menu. You know, you can buy either just a charcuterie board, just a cheese platter, chips and salsas. Very, very common, easy.
People finish up their golf game, come by and have a glass of wine.
We definitely have a lot of people coming down from the ridge golfing, that's for sure.
Yep. And maybe from the boats, too.
There's a lot of people that do that as well. Yeah. They'll come into Mill Bay at the marina, and then they'll just want a winery that's close, so they can either come to Unsworth, of course, because it's close, and us just around the corner as well.
Yeah.
So we do get a lot of visits from the boaters, for sure.
How would you describe the Cowichan to people who don't, like, you know, maybe they know the Okanagan or Napa or Sonoma or whatever, but how would you...
You know, I think the Cowichan, the most important thing about here is what you have to experience it to fully understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a little bit more laid back, definitely. Nothing happens quick around the Cowichan Valley. Everything is very slow paced.
Yeah,
But it's exciting. I mean, there's a lot of things going on all the time. There's a lot of artisans, obviously.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by the ocean, so that's a big benefit as well.
Well, I noticed, like, just driving through the roads to the wineries, you can buy eggs. You can stop at a lot of farms along the way.
A lot of little farm stands. Yeah. People love it. I mean, it's a beautiful spot to live, and we're happy to be here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, well, I know that it was part of the slow food movement. The Italians recognized the Cowichan many years ago, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. I'm jabbering on here, but maybe we should try the second wine so we don't run out of time.
This is
the 2021?
2021 Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Yeah, fresh out of the tank for you.
We've been talking a lot about it. How would you... What do you think about Pinot Noir in Vancouver Island?
I mean, Pinot Noir does really well in Vancouver Island. I think, again, you know, picking the right varietal to plant in the Cowichan Valley is super important. Hmm.
I love how delicate Vancouver Island Pinot is compared to many other places where they tell you it's not a big wine, but it's usually mouth-filling and high alcohol.
Yep.
These are much more interesting at, I don't know, 12, 13%. They're not very much.
No, they're not. They're a little more delicate. There's no doubt about that. A little bit of spice, which we're always going to get. I think it's going to be a really good year, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Now, you're coming up on 20 years next year at the winery.
Yeah, 20 years in the ground, yep.
Have you got any old wine that you're still drinking from way back when?
The oldest vintage that I've got in my desk right now is hidden in my desk. We have some 2009 Pinot Gris.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't tasted it as of yet, but I will.
Well, maybe next year on the 20th.
It'll be a celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in general, how many wines are available at Enrico?
13 right now.
13?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, a little bit of a spread. You know, we've got a few more reds, obviously, to taste. But, you know, whites, we've got a lot of whites in the ground. And then, of course, our sparkling program's doing extremely well.
Yeah. Well, as I say, folks, when you go there, you just have one look at that patio and you just think, well, I might just spend the afternoon here.
Which we get a lot of people doing.
Yeah. You've been a big part of the Cowichan Wine Festival as well. What's happening this year? Is it back or is it
Yep, it's back.
On?
Since COVID, we've gone back to the entire month of August, which we're excited about.
Yeah.
The people are really excited about it because it gives them the whole month to enjoy the Cowichan Valley.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a large introduction night down at Brentwood College School, which will be a lot of fun, like we did last year as
right.
well. They always go over extremely well, but expanding it into the full month is super important. Like I said, it gives the customers the opportunity, or the people that are attending, the opportunity to go and visit all 13 of the wineries,
right?
Which is important. That's why we do it.
Like, they used to have a passport or something, and you would take it with you and get it stamped or whatever, it would sort of encourage people to get around the valley.
Yeah, it did, and we're going to do the passport program again, and I think that's really important as well.
Yeah.
But, it just gives people the opportunity to come out and enjoy it. It's kind of a good time
for wineries because they're not super busy in August.
Not yet.
But by September, they got to get back to work.
And, yep.
Yeah. So they don't have as much time for visitors.
No, it's a perfect time, and it gives us time to spend time with the customers when they come in, explain everything that's going on, explain the wines.
Sounds like it'll be less time on your boat, though.
A lot less time. Yes, a lot less time.
Lauren, great to catch up with you.
You as well. Always a pleasure.
Just remind our folks, if they come by the winery now, when are you open? What hours?
For the month of April, we're going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from noon till 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll grow as the...
Once the season opens up a bit more, we'll take it all the way from Wednesday to Sunday.
Fantastic.
Yeah, same hours.
Thanks for joining us.
My absolute pleasure.
Lovely Ortega.
Thank you.
It'll be bottled this week. It'll be for sale in a month or so?
Yeah, about 3 weeks after we bottle.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be ready to go.
Love it.
Thank you.
Lauren Inglis, GM for Enrico Winery. We're coming to you live from Unsworth Vineyards. Up next, Steve Moriarty, Director of Wines at Save-On Foods, talks about Save-On on the island. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Presented in part by Moonwater Lodge, a West Coast-style boutique hotel. Online at moonwaterlodge.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated Conference and Event Center at Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro with extended hours beginning in June. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a spring road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing spring getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and highway conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
From the Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. On location from our Cowichan Valley Grape Escape at Unsworth Vineyards. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across the British Columbia BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're coming to you from Unsworth Vineyard on our first grape escape of the season. Our guest is Steve Moriarty. He's the director of wines at Save-On Foods, and guess what? They have some stores that sell a lot of wines on Vancouver Island. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be back on Vancouver Island. Haven't been here for a while.
It's so refreshing here in so many ways.
Yeah, it's like its own little country almost.
It is. It's like a little Tuscany, I think, some days, or an old Sonoma, in the old days. Well, I do want to talk about the stores in general, but let's start with on the island, because you're selling a lot of wine over here.
Well, you know, we have three stores, and I like to call them strategically situated. You know, we have our store in Campbell River.
Yeah.
Sandy is our department manager, team leader there. She's got a great team. And we've seen actually a significant, I would say, reaction to BC wine since the beginning of the pandemic and the evolution, and it's been nothing short of very, very encouraging what's happening in Campbell River for us.
That's fantastic.
Sell BC wine. And it's whenever we, you know, we see the consumer interaction with a with wines that we take, you know, we have a vested interest. I mean, we're emotionally attached.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like watching your kids grow up almost.
I was just thinking, so if you're going to Tofino, you can stop in that store on the way and pick up a bunch of BC wine. Or
Parksville, absolutely. Brian and his team there in Parksville have always been great supporters. And the community of Parksville and surrounding, you know, whether, you know, a little far either way, mm-hmm. we have tremendous support. You know, a lot of people come from Nanaimo to our Parksville store to buy wine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always comment on the fact that, you know, that store has more than 1,300 different SKUs of BC VQA wine. And that's encouraging.
Yeah, that's a lot of SKUs. That's a big number. Our guest is Steve Moriarty. He's the director of wines at Save on Foods. There's a third store. We shouldn't leave them out.
Absolutely not. Yeah. They're probably my favorite store, of course, in Sydney.
Yeah.
And you know, in the location, sure, it's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a commute from downtown Victoria, but it's every day I go there, or when I am there, I should say, is that I'm always surprised at the support that the consumers come from all over the lower part of the island, mm-hmm. especially from downtown Victoria. Nothing driving all the way to Sydney to pick up some wine. But again, for those consumers that want to find that little bit different stuff, you know, we've got it, especially our legacy case, you know, the super premium, we call it, BC wines.
Yeah. I guess just a question about the stores in general. Do they all have the same product, more or less, or can we count on that, or does it change in the regions they're in? Or
well, we do make some exceptions for Vancouver Island.
Okay.
So we try to have as much as we can that's unique to Vancouver Island. But by and large, the footprint, or the what we call the SKU allocation, is the same in all of our stores. However, as vintages come and go, you know, every now and then I go into a store and I find a vintage, you know, been gone for 2 years, and I find it in a store and it's like Christmas for me, right? And
right.
I go, wow,
right.
Look what I found. And it's just the luck of the draw sometimes.
We hear there's always, the demand is so high, there's not a lot of wine available, but you get some Vancouver Island wine in these stores?
Absolutely. I mean, we're at Unsworth today, and Unsworth, of course, we have a great relationship with Unsworth going back since the very beginning, the very first store we opened back in 2015.
Right.
Tim and his team were supportive back then and have been up till now.
Yeah. Well, it has been about 8 years. Have you made any sense of this business at all? Or?
Well, I tell you, April 1st is our birthday, and you know, I've learned a tremendous amount about wine.
I'm glad you didn't say you've been beaten down a tremendous amount by the wine business.
I was going to say there are days when it's significantly challenged, but what the rewarding part is that we are emotionally bonded or attached to the BC wine industry, and we just love everything about it. I love the people in the wine. Everybody, you must know this. Every time you go to a winery, you meet new kinds of characters.
Yeah.
They've got different kinds of passions and emotions, and they're all unique, truly unique, and it's always reflected in their wines.
Yeah.
And how do you not support that just every day?
Well, I think, and it fits your ethos of local, right? I mean, you've always been about local in terms of the food, so it makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, when we first talked about getting in the wine business, it was back in 2014, and we had this opportunity, and we had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And once we made the decision that we were going to get into this business, and it was all going to be local, it became very, very easy for us to decide. Mm. And here we are today.
Yeah. So what do you think? So, well, let's just do one. I have to ask, what would be a big challenge now moving forward after 8 years? Like, what's your biggest challenge at the moment?
Well, you know, of course, the inflationary activity that's going on in the market. I mean, we know that everybody's being as prudent as they possibly can.
Yeah.
I've not met anybody yet that isn't concerned about how they represent their pricing structure in the market and being as prudish as they can and controlling costs. And of course, there's a new tax coming at the beginning of the beginning of April, which is going to significantly impact the winery's pricing structure. And mm-hmm. we're standing by to manage that as best we can. And unfortunately, it's going to have a bit of an impact. And we'll all stand around and kind of watch exactly how the consumer reacts to that.
Yeah. When I was younger, there was kind of a pricing pattern in wine, but now there seems to be no real pattern or price. Like there, it used to be fairly, you know, regimental and steps up. But now, like, you could have a wine that's $44.83 or a wine that's $21.27. Like, I don't get that.
There used to be some similarities. You saw it in the grocery business where retailers were fond of the numbers that ended in 99 or
yeah.
or something like that. And to be honest, I think nowadays, I think the retailers are as cost conscious as anybody is. And we're trying to reflect the absolute, you know, minimums we can get away with selling it for.
Right.
Really. And I think in all honesty, and, while we have this challenge of inflationary activity, we're still very, very in tune with the consumer reaction to that, because without the consumers, none of us are successful at all.
Of course. You got a bunch of new wines. Easter's coming. Let's combine those into a conversation.
You think of the challenges that the BC wine industry got thrown in the last 2 years with weather and issues along those lines.
Yeah.
This year's spring, I call them the spring children this year, you know, the vintages that we've got, and I think of two in particular. Our best-selling white wine is a wine made by Hester Creek. We call it PGV, stands for Pinot Gris Viognier.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Every year I challenge the winery to do it better, and this year it's just been over the top, and the consumers have reacted to it. I mean, it was off the shelves for probably 3 months almost, and now it just come roaring back.
PGV.
And we're excited about that. That means that even all those obstacles that the BC winery industry has been thrown at, they're succeeding, and they're coming.
Yeah.
They're meeting the challenge and beating it, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to give you a little tip. Hester Creek. So I was just telling everybody on the drive up here today that I tasted the latest Hester Creek Cabernet Franc in a group of about 15, and it is amazingly good. Like, it's outstanding. And it's like, it's a $26-$27 wine, whatever. But it's really a great wine.
Yeah. You know, we were just at the winery a few weeks ago, and we tasted a lot of things in and out of the barrel. Some of them were just going into bottles, and we're just kind of in awe of a lot of the things, you know.
So your other red, you should mention it
we
go.
Road 13, of course, great partners of ours, been around forever. We have a Cab Merlot with them that's unique to our stores, and it's always been our best-selling red wine. And, of course, this new vintage came out, and we all went, wow. You know, just like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, I like what's going on at Road 13. They've always, they've had a Rhone, a Rhone focus, but really a red wine focus. And they've done some great stuff in the South Okanagan.
Absolutely. They've stepped up, as far as I'm concerned. They've really stepped up their game.
Yeah. Steve, it's always great for you to drop by when we're on location. We love to hear from you and what's going on in the stores, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
I appreciate it. And I just remind everybody, we're ready for Easter. We've got, you name it, we've got it as far as BCVQA wine. There's nothing you can't think of we don't have.
Yeah, from 1 to 1300. I love it.
Yeah.
Steve Moriarty, Director of Wines at Savon Foods. And that's it for today's show. Special thanks to our hosts, Unsworth Vineyards here in the Cowichan Valley, and our production team, including on-site producer Mike Whittingham. He's back. Our studio producer, Dwayne Bishop. Assignment producer, Sherry Caleb. And our Director of Operations, Stu Ferguson. All broadcasts are available weekly on the radio or on demand across all the major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google, Apple. You'll find it everywhere. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and for all of us at the show, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Until then, enjoy your weekend.
That's it for today's show. On location at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Today's show presented in part by Moonwater Lodge. Online at moonwaterlodge.com.